coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home.
Reading from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Or some may say, Amen. All right, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, December 16th, 2022. It's an all-male review today, guys. There's five men in the studio. That's our studio guests that are going to participate in today's topic as Pastor Jason Schiffo will facilitate our discussion on joy in knowing. As we continue in this Advent season, we pray that today's topic, joy in knowing the reason for the season, the Lord Jesus Christ, and being able to proclaim him and share him with others. It's usually a golden opportunity for many conversations around at the office or where you work or with friends to bring up subjects around this holiday season and why the Lord Jesus Christ is central to the message. But I hope today you'll be blessed and encouraged. And tomorrow, plan on joining the singing men of GNN at the Marketplace Mall food court at noon. So get here early, get parked, get seated, and right at noon we'll start up. It'll probably be about an hour and a half concert. We have some soloists that'll sing. I think the singing men, Ellerick, how many songs are we singing? About 15, 16. There'll be some sing-alongs, but many got, oh, here's our song list right here. I guess at least 13 songs and then some solo songs. So probably about 17 different songs. So come and join us. There'll be some testimony time, and that'll be at the Marketplace Mall food court. It'll be the 22nd time that we've been able to sing and declare the wonders of God with Christmas selections, God-honoring music for the season. So I hope you can join.
Which one's your favorite, Alaric? Which one is the one you're looking forward to singing?
Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Go Tell It on the Mountain. I like that one, too.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, we have a good version. Mary, Did You Know? And some of the ones that people know well. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Birthday of a King. Joy to the World. O Come All Ye Faithful. O Holy Night. Ken Welch always does great in that. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. That'll be a part of the sing-along. The Christmas Song. Deck the Halls. Silent Night. And then some other special music. So invite a friend. Come join us. And maybe some of you men will think about joining us in the new year as we will start rehearsals up in February of 2023. So begin planning now, but come and see what it's all about. Be blessed. Invite a neighbor, a friend, a co-laborer, and I think it'll enhance your...
Well, if you come at noon on Saturday and you run into Alaric, you're probably going to get asked to join the singing men in the new year. He's a part of the new Office of Recruitment I know that you've recently established.
And so
he asks almost everybody if they'll be a part of the singing men.
Yeah,
has he gotten you yet, Tad?
Yes.
Yeah.
Several times.
Gotten you? Yeah. Okay. Me too. All right.
Yeah.
Feel like we're in one of those self-help groups.
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
Mark and I was right next to each other.
Right next to each other. That's so that at any moment you can assume that position of power.
Yeah, take over. You know, or a little shove, and then he has to fill in while I'm recovering or something.
Things have happened.
Yeah. Well, it's been a fantastic week for those of you that have been able to tune in with the testimony time. I had Tom Leland and Donna, his wife, on Tuesday for Testimony Tuesday. We had a fun discussion with Dee Chesser and Marianne Simpkins on Wednesday, and then Donna Leland on Thursday, and she's going to continue to be a part of future Thursday editions of Mark and Friends. Today we have these wonderful friends, Dwayne Berkey. You know his name because he lives across from our Fisher Tower and has helped station that for days and weeks and months on end. He's been there just about every day for many years, and appreciate him. And Tad Jagish, who's a part of the theater troupe and has that great deep voice. He can be Satan and yet he can be God in different character roles.
That's a heck of a palmares.
I know.
You can be Satan and God?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
No conflict there.
And he works on the radio vehicles and keeps us going. And Pastor Jason Schiffo, a beloved friend and
posters
great
at
teacher,
the post office.
Loves to come in and and share and divide God's word. Just really a real gift. And then Alaric, all-purpose volunteer. I used to call him my guardian angel. I guess I still call you that sometimes.
Clarence.
But it seems like God's raised him up to just be an encouragement and to promote the station and to participate in any way he can. So, hey, yeah, remember, Alaric, tonight at 9 o'clock we'll be setting up. So any of you that want to be a part of the setup team will be at Marketplace Mall in the food court beginning at 9. The more hands, the easier it goes, and I might treat pizza. So that's tonight at 9 p.m. And then singing and concert at noon tomorrow.
What time are we meeting in here?
Well, we'll meet in here around 8:30, but okay. You know, we'll walk over to the food court by 9 and start unloading our risers and getting the sound system set up. Be a fun time. There'll be usually about 8 or 10 of us guys working together. So
yeah.
Well, Jason, there is a lot of joy in the season, and there's even more joy when we know what to believe about this season. The joy in knowing today's topic on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends.
Yeah, so you open with that scripture from Peter about growing in grace and knowledge. So I want to put everybody on the spot and just maybe ask you, how in this season of Advent, you know, these 5 Sundays that lead us towards remembering the birth of Christ on Christmas Day, how have you guys been growing in grace and knowledge?
Wow. Well, I always like Christmas because it always amazes me how so many people in the world that don't pay any attention to anything religious, even a lot of people who don't even believe in God, suddenly get wrapped up in Christmas every time of year. And I'm thinking this is a wonderful recurring opportunity to share the gospel. And I always try to say Merry Christmas to people in the stores just to see who answers. But put it out there. Use this as an opportunity to point people to Christ, because the rest of the time they probably don't think about him.
I liked in your prayer time, Jason, when you were praying that may this season raise new awareness, may it never get old, may we look towards the second advent, may we not only recognize that Jesus came, but it's not like he's coming for the first time. He's been here, he's at work, he's been working through all eternity, but he will be returning, and that'll be a powerful time. But this is that reminder to just celebrate that he's here, that he abides with us, that he wants to work through us. And this is just a special time. Whether you claim December 25th is his actual birth date, it doesn't really matter. It's just the fact that he was born.
Yeah. Anybody else want to share ways that maybe you're growing to know more about Jesus in this season?
Yeah, I've been hearing about him on the radio broadcast.
Yeah. The reason I ask this question, or the reason we want to say that there's joy in knowing, is because we know something. I mean, we have a whole book called the Bible that teaches us all about not just the life of Jesus, but everything that went into the coming of Jesus. And then out of that, the promise of his glorious return. So we as Christians, we as the followers of Jesus, know something. And that something that we know is supposed to bring us great joy. In fact, when the angels proclaimed this, what did they call it? They called it what? To the shepherds and to the wise men. They called it what? Good news of
great joy.
Yeah, good news of great joy. And sometimes I think what happens is in the middle of this season, we can allow that knowledge that we have to somehow become sidelined or maligned, or maybe it just gets lost in the shuffle of all the other things that's gone. But then this is what happens too. As that gets lost in the shuffle of everything else that's going on, so does our joy. Because this good news is supposed to be of great joy. And it's interesting to me how many Christians arrive at Christmas Day and they have very little joy. And that's because they've allowed it to leak out, because they've forgotten what it is that they know.
I think leak out and get squeezed out because of all the other activities and things they're flustered over and the busyness of the season, and just forgetting it, not prioritizing it as whose season it really is and about.
Yeah, and what's fascinating to me is this, is that we would say, what's that popular cliche almost kind of phrase that we use as Christians? We say the reason for the season is...
Alaric?
Jesus. Yeah. The reason for the season is Jesus. And so during this season, we put all of our focus upon Jesus, which is good and right, and don't get me wrong. But here's the thing, is that this season, at least in my estimation, is all about the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament more than 300 times talks about the coming of Jesus. In fact, I read this little statistical, it was almost like a little experiment that they did. And I want to read this to you. It says, some scholars believe that there are more than 300 prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. These prophecies are specific enough that the mathematical probability of Jesus fulfilling even a handful of them, let alone all of them, is staggeringly improbable, if not impossible. Peter Stoner, chairman of the Departments of Mathematics and Astronomy at Pacenda College, was passionate about biblical prophecies, and with 600 students from InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Stoner looked into 8 specific prophecies of Jesus. They came up with extremely conservative probabilities for each one being fulfilled, and then considered the likelihood of Jesus fulfilling all 8 of those prophecies. Mathematically speaking, the prospect of anyone that could satisfy all 8 probabilities was 1/10 to the 17th power, which means a 1 with 17 zeros behind it. That's the probability of somebody being able to fulfill all 8 prophecies, let alone all 300. And then they gave this, they said this, let us try to visualize this chance. If you mark 1 of 10 tickets and place all tickets in a hat and thoroughly stir them, then ask a blindfolded man to draw one. His chances of getting the right ticket is 1 in 10. Suppose we take 1,017 silver dollars and lay them on the face of Texas. They will cover the entire state 2 feet deep. Mark 1 of those silver dollars, stir the whole mass, and then ask somebody to find it. That's the probability of somebody fulfilling 8 of those prophecies. And Jesus fulfills all 300. The mathematical probability of that happening is staggering. And yet, we are privy to be able to pick up this book and be able to read and know all of the things that he did. God didn't hide them from us. He gave them to us. And this is what's fascinating to me, is that we know that when we read the Old Testament, what we come away finding out is that we know something that the entire Old Testament wished it knew.
Yeah, exactly. We can look back and see the fulfillment. They were like, yet? Is it coming yet? Is it coming
right
yet?
And they didn't even know what they were writing about. How many times is David writing about this person or this thing he doesn't even fully comprehend, but it's somewhere in the future when God is going to do something amazing and miraculous and unheard of. And so it led me to this verse that I love. It's in 1 Peter chapter 1, 10 through 12. It says, concerning this salvation, so concerning Jesus and the work of Jesus, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating, in them, which means the one who was prophesying through them, was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, into which the angels long to look. This passage in Peter says that all the prophets and even the angels wish they knew what you knew. Tell me how staggering that is. And then we treat this, we come into this season, and we treat this knowledge so callously.
Yeah, I'm a science geek, and I love numbers. And one of the things, when I look at this, I'm going, I remember from back in high school and in college doing calculations on things and these huge numbers. A lot of people are like, wow, that's like really amazing. But I look at that from a Christian perspective. I'm going, okay, a number that big is not just highly likely. To me, that says this is certain. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the Messiah. There's no question. Mm-hmm. The numbers back you up. Mm-hmm. And that gives me joy in the season, because every year this comes around and I'm reminded he did it. He fulfilled all of those prophecies. And it's not just, I hope he's the Messiah. I know he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, what do we do with that knowledge? See, this is what I'm concerned about, is that we can so often come to the season and we read Luke 2 and we read Matthew chapter 1, and maybe we'll read some other verses out of Galatians chapter 4, in the fullness of time God set forth his son born to a woman born under the law. I mean, we'll read all of these kinds of verses in the New Testament and forget that the majority of this book that God gave us, you know, 3/4 of it is crying out of the wilderness, behold, make way, someone is coming. Mm-hmm. And so when we read the Old Testament, it's supposed to give us this kind of oomph to say, I believe it. I mean, 300 different times God proclaimed this thing was going to happen way back starting in Genesis chapter 3, right after the fall. And he continually did it. I mean, he did it through Isaiah. He did it through Malachi. He just continued to shout out through the prophets. And these prophets didn't know. They longed to know. They probably asked the Lord day and night, like, who is this one? Who is the Prince of Peace? Who is this one who the weight of the government will be upon his shoulders? Who is this? They're waiting for that name to, and we know. And yet, what do we do with that knowledge? How do we walk through this season with a kind of joy and confidence that says, I know? And not because I know because I've been told, not because I know because I've been a good boy and went to Sunday school and went to church. I know because I read with the Word and I communed with the Spirit who authored this Word, and I know without a doubt. And however God landed that on your heart, for some people they landed on their heart academically, like mathematically, like Tad did. They see that 1/10 to the 17th power and they go, yep, that's for certain. Like that mathematical number, you can't, there's no wiggling there.
And that's with only 8 of the 300.
That's only with 8 of the 300 prophecies. Yeah. And those 8, by the way, I believe they picked the ones that were the most general. You know, those aren't even the ones where that you have to kind of piece together some other things to be able to understand that that is Jesus that God is talking about in those passages. But we come into the season knowing, and this is what Jesus says himself. So once we move from what we know in the Old Testament, and by the way, I printed this out. I've been carrying this around with me and reading it. It's 55 of the prophecies about Jesus, because I just want to keep reading this over and over again so I can become an expert in what the Old Testament says about Jesus. I think that we've got a lot of New Testament scholars in our churches, and we've got a lot of people who have left the Old Testament in the lurch. And unfortunately, the Old Testament is all about Jesus. Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody who wants to watch just the last 15 minutes of every movie. You want to watch the whole movie. And 3/4 of the movie happens in the Old Testament. But somehow, I was just talking about this yesterday with our good friend of the station, John Jennings. Mm-hmm. Somehow, because somebody put a blank page between the Old and New Testament, we got ourselves all tripped up. We think, oh, well, I don't have to read that part. There's a page there. I just read the other half of it. No. We want to know all of it. Why? Because Jesus himself said, blessed are eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many of the prophets, the righteous men, desired to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. Jesus himself says that there'll be something we see with our eyes and we hear with our ears that all of redemptive history wish that they could know and see. I mean, do we come into that? Is that like our faith? I mean, I think that's the reason why there are parts in the Bible where Paul talks about your faith like it abounds, it leaps, it jumps. It has this kind of confidence that can't be squashed. Because if you truly believe that you know these things and you know what all of history desired to know, then I think you live differently. Mm. I think you have a kind. I mean, I think everybody is asking the wrong question. I think everybody is saying, how do I have faith like Paul? Instead of saying, maybe I ought to read what Paul read. Because what did Paul do? I'll just throw it out to the room. What did Paul do once he got saved? What's one of the first things he did?
Spent a couple years studying the scriptures and looking really for the Messiah in them.
He went back and he read the whole Old Testament. I mean, spoiler alert to everybody everybody listening. Nobody had the New Testament in the New Testament. The Gideons had not yet arrived. So there was no New Testament. When everybody is reading the scriptures, when Jesus says to the Pharisees, have you not read? What's he talking about?
The Old Testament.
The Old Testament. Now, I know there's probably some dispensationalists out there right now who are angry with me. But listen, your book is too small. You need to read the whole thing. It's all a story about what God did. You listen, we malign our faith in God when we are only concerned with the last 15 minutes of his story. We need to read the whole of his story, the totality of his story, the hard and difficult parts of his story, because in every place that's difficult in the Old Testament, you'll find yourself struggling to follow God, hitting the rock when he told you to speak to the rock, doing all the different things.
And I think it bears mentioning, Jason, and you and I have talked about this with our many trips to Israel and so forth, but when you see the Old Testament, some people see that as old, obsolete, unnecessary, it's been replaced, you know, old-fashioned. No, old is just a word that we put to it. I think you were saying you call it the First Testament or the – there's different ways mm-hmm. of referring to it. Many people call it the Hebrew Scriptures. That's the Scriptures that the Jewish people have. But many Jewish friends would say, when Christians say Old Testament, are they saying obsolete, unnecessary, you know, archaic and so forth? And I said, no, we love the Hebrew Scriptures. Most Christians love reading the Older Testament, you know, the words of Moses and, you know, about the prophets and so forth.
Yeah, so when you think 1,500 years to write that, and you come across those prophecies, and they all come together at Jesus, does that not inspire you with confidence mm-hmm. that God really is in control?
Yeah.
1,500 years and all these different people, they keep hinting at this same thing, mm-hmm. and then it happens. I think he can handle whether or not you're going to make the rent.
Yeah. Well, and how about this? So we talked about the prophets, but then that passage ends and said the angels longed to look into it. I mean, the angels have longed to look into this. Now, listen, this doesn't mean that they want to and they can't. What it actually means is that the angels long and love to look into the work of God. They love to look in. And if the angels have that much zeal for the salvation of God, shouldn't we? Because we're the ones who experience it. They just get to watch. We experience it. And we experience it with one another and others as we share the gospel, as we live the gospel out, as we come into the room with this kind of confidence that says, I know who Jesus is. I know all of who Jesus is because I've read the whole story. Mm. And listen, now you have a whole story to tell. I love that Paul says to the Ephesian elders, I didn't hesitate to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. I think that what he said is he said to him, wasn't that fun how we did that Old Testament Bible study together?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that fun how I pointed out to you all the places that Jesus was present, that you missed him all along? Wasn't that fun?
And how about that example where Jesus is walking along the road with those two disciples mm-hmm. or two followers, and he's taking them through all the scriptures that pointed towards him. That's Jesus stating, those scriptures pointed towards me.
Yeah.
Wow.
I got a blessing from performing that with the theater troupe. Walking down the road and going, but we've read and all this is happening. And then he's like, well, here, let me explain it.
You were the guys on the road to Emmaus too?
Yep.
So you were Satan, God, and the guys on the road to Emmaus?
Yeah, don't go there.
How many other people are in there, Tad?
As we began with, we'll close out with 2 Peter chapter 3.
You got to close this with
verse 18.
This is Mark and Jason in the Ministry of Great News Radio, along with Dwayne, Alaric, Tad, and about a dozen people that he brought with him.
But grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. May that be true of your Advent season as you proclaim and share the good news message of Jesus. He is Lord and Savior. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of the radio listening family. As Jason shared, we're all here together collectively loving Jesus
and
encouraging you with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night and weekend. See you tomorrow at the Singing Men concert.